Good morning. So last time we talked a bit about exceptions. So these are cases where something happens on our system and the processor asks the OS what to do. So the OS gets to handle whatever event happened. And there's lots of types of events which could trigger this. So you have external events like input and output coming in. We have requests from programs, like which we call system calls. And the reason why the program would want to request the OS do something rather than just doing it themselves or making a function call is that we learned about this idea called kernel mode, that our processor is going to have two different modes it can run instructions in. And in kernel mode, it's going to allow sort of all the operations the processor can do. And in user mode, the quote-unquote normal mode, it's not going to allow all of them. And this allows us to have the OS decide how shared resources actually get used by the machine, because the machine enforces that even though it's writing your code, it doesn't mean your code can do anything at once. For some operations, it needs to have the OS run in kernel mode to do those operations for it. And the way that we do that is that we trigger an exception. The exception handlers that the OS writes run in kernel mode, so they have access to all the capabilities of the machine. We also mentioned that another category of exceptions was sort of internal events in programs, like when you access out of bounds in your memory, or you do a divide by zero, or an invalid instruction. These are all things where the processor doesn't really know what to do, so it's going to ask the OS for some help. Then we started talking about virtual memory and pages in the page tables. So virtual memory is this idea that, well, we want programs to have the illusion that they have their own memory, but they don't really. We really have one big memory that we want to share between all the programs. So the way we're going to achieve that is the programs are going to use addresses, what we call virtual addresses, and that's all the only addresses that they'll see. But we're going to translate them to physical addresses. And to make this happen, we're going to have a mapping that's set by the operating system but used by the processor to run instructions. And the format this mapping is going to take is that we're going to divide up our overall memory into these fixed size pages. And after having done this, we're going to make it so we can divide up our addresses, whether virtual addresses or physical addresses, into a page number, which was going to be the upper bits of the address, and a page offset, which is going to be the lower bits of the address. And then we're going to make up what we call a page table. So we're going to have one row for each virtual page, so each page that the program knows about, but that's not the real pages. And it's going to say what physical page, what real page in the memory that's shared between all the programs that corresponds to, plus we'll have a valid bit and some permission bits to say, well, when the program is trying to use this range of virtual addresses, what things should it be allowed to do, and is it anything at all? So questions about the things we covered last time. Okay. So I'll briefly talk about quiz questions 2 to 4, since I think the scores on that part of the quiz suggested I probably should. Let me look up which exactly were the problems on this class's quiz, not the other one. But so in that scenario, we had really. We had a bunch of confusion about what counted as a system call. So a system call is when a process triggers an exception deliberately to ask the OS to do something for it. So requesting to read from the keyboard, that's a system call. Switching to another program as a result of that, that's not an extra system call, because the reason that's happening is because we requested to read from the keyboard. The system call that caused that is the first thing, and the OS is responding to that event by running another program. We're accessing out-of-bounds memory in crashes. This is not something we think of as, you don't access out-of-bounds memory to run the OS, to ask the OS to crash your program. You do something else to do that. to have your program exit. But exiting, that is a system call because we can't just have our program stop running. There's not a way to do that. We have to have the OS help us somehow. I guess there might be some confusion about, wait a minute, how does returning from main work then? And the answer is that in the C standard library, there's a function provided by your compiler that calls main, and when main returns, it makes a system call to say, hey, this process is done, get rid of it. Because if it just returned, well, that would keep running. Or try to keep running and maybe crash because it was accessing out of bounds memory because it's going beyond the end of the stack, but it needs to do something to actually ask the OS to end the process. Yes?
So any sort of error handle, like an out of bounds error, is not considered a context switch or a system call?
So question, any sort of error that, like an out of bounds error, is not considered a context switch or a system call? So a context switch, so let's separate things. So system call needs to be a deliberate request. So out of bounds error, that's not a deliberate request. You didn't write your code explicitly to go out of bounds, probably, or divide by zero or something like that. As for a context switch, is when we switch from running one process to another, right? We're unloading that process from the processor and loading a different process onto it. And we may or may not respond to exceptional events by doing that. It's up to the OS whether it wants to try to keep running the program somehow, or switch to another program, or what? Does that answer your question?
So as long as it stays in the same program, after handling the error, it doesn't count.
So the question is, as long as we keep running the same program after handling error, it's not a context switch? Yes. Okay, yeah?
For the step of the key press happens in main as process A retreat, is that a context switch? Because while C is running, A receives the keyboard input.
Okay, so the question is, A, retrieving a context switch? Yes. Sorry, I should have written that on the slide. That's a context switch because we were running C before, and now we're running A. And so something had to make that happen. Yes?
Would be considered a timer exception, since it was talking about how the request reaching the keyboard was not immediately available, so it waits?
Question, would one be considered a timer exception? No. So the timer we were talking about is what made our program stop running when we were just running our infinite loop, for example, when there's nothing happening either in our program or in the normal I/O devices that would make the OS get to run. The OS has this sort of fallback mechanism of setting up a timer so it gets to run no matter what. It's a question that has nothing to do with waiting. It's more you're taking way too long. It has something to do with waiting in that it's how the OS guarantees that it gets to run after a certain amount of time, and that might be how it implements something like run my program in 5 minutes. Does that answer your question? Okay. Other questions? Yeah.
Why is it running the process B at the bottom and another system call to execute?
Question, why isn't running process B another system call? So what happened is process A exited, which was a system call. And part of that system call handler was getting rid of process A. Another part of it was deciding what to do next. And what the operating system decided to do next is run process B. So that was one exception, which was a system call, and a side effect of that was switching to process B. Does that answer your question? Yeah. So the question is, when we run an exception handler, is that a context switch to the exception handler? So it is related to a context switch, but it's not something I call a context switch. It's more like a function call. And we don't say when your program calls foo for main that that's a context switch, even though, yes, we're saving and restoring some things. But it's more like a function call when we run an exception handler. Does that answer your question? Other questions? Or other questions about the quiz? Yeah?
So, I just want to make sure I understand this correctly. So, for the asynchronous switches, exceptions, it seems step two, like, it's switching from process A to C for no particular reason, which makes me think it's a timer.
Okay, so the question, it's for step two, it seemed like it was switching from process A to C for no particular reason. What I was trying to imply is that the reason was that this was all part of this system call, right? That you asked to read from the keyboard, and the OS realizes as a result of that that I can't just go back to A. This has nothing to do. Just because if you call, like CN something, right, we can't just run your program when there's no input. And that's what's happening there. So it's a side effect of you asking for input that the OS is going to realize, well, since you asked for input, I can't just run you. That doesn't make any sense. Does that answer your question? I guess I maybe could have made that clearer, that my intention was that that's part of the request, is that because of the request, the OS said, oh, it's waiting, I have to do something else. Yeah? The question is, what's going to happen for partial credit for these? I need to go through that with people actually doing the comment grading. They have a way of going through all the answers and assigning partial credit, which they haven't done yet. Yeah.
Is one not considered an asynchronous exception because
the question is, one not considered an asynchronous exception because the program didn't stop writing? So what distinguishes a synchronous exception from an asynchronous one is whether it's caused by the program that was running. And in this case, A made a request, so it's caused by A. So even though, yes, A stopped running as a result, but it was caused by A, that's what's important. Does that answer your question? Okay, other questions? Okay, so let's go back to our issue of gauge tables. So we mentioned at the end of last time that we had these permission bits in our page table entry. So we have our table of pages for all our virtual, for every virtual page, we have a row, which gives us the physical page, also whether it's valid, and we also have these extra bits here that might tell us, you know, sort of when does the processor allow this, allow the access. And if it's not valid, or the processor doesn't allow it for this particular access, we're going to trigger an exception. Now, so we've talked about sort of basically how page tables work, but we have some sort of practical matters that we've kind of skipped over. So one of them is sort of how big are virtual addresses? And so far, I've kind of given the impression that, oh, they'd be the size of your pointers. But I've also like talked about having a 10-bit virtual address, which would seem to mean we have 10-bit pointers. But very frequently in practice, our virtual addresses will be smaller than our pointers. And how that works is we'll have pointers where not all the bits are actually used to access memory. And this is very common on 64-bit systems because often it's not considered worthwhile to build the machinery to have page tables that take 64-bit addresses. So for example, on most x86 64 systems, even though we have 64-bit pointers, only 48 bits of that pointer are used. And the other bits have to just be copies of basically the 48th bit. So basically they say the bottom 48 bits are the pointer, and the other bits are copies of the 48th bit. So the pointers always start with all zeros or all ones. And when we talk about the size of a virtual address, if I tell you a system has 48-bit virtual addresses, I'm talking about the bits that are used for mapping. So I'll say that my laptop has a 48-bit virtual address, even though pointers are 64 bits. So questions on virtual address sizes? And another term that we'll sometimes use is we'll talk about the size of the address space. So if I have a 32-bit virtual address, I'll say I have 2 to the 32 byte virtual address space, meaning that there are 2 to the 32 individual bytes I can name among the virtual addresses. And if I have, say, a 20-bit virtual physical address, rather, I'll say I'll have a 2 to the 20-byte physical address. And for a virtual address, well, it seems like, okay, so we can have that many different bytes, but that doesn't mean that all of them can be valid at the same time. You might not have enough memory to do that. It just means that that's the number of unique names that we are allowed to use. And the same is true for physical addresses. So just because I have a 20-bit physical address doesn't mean I actually have the memory to make all those addresses useful. And you're thinking, like, why would this be the case? Well, let's think about if I have a machine with 3 gigs of memory. That's not a power of 2. There's no way I can have all the addresses make, physical addresses make sense on that machine. Like, I can have 4 gigabyte, that's a 2 to the 32 byte physical address space, in which case at least a quarter of the addresses won't do anything or will somehow not be, make sense. And commonly we'll have a lot more access because if I have a machine where I have, say, 8 gigs of memory installed, but it could be upgraded to 64, upgrading it's not going to change the physical address space size, it's just going to change how many of those physical addresses work. So questions on these address space size ideas? Why did I say in the 3 gig example at least a quarter of them would have not to make sense? So the closest power of 2 we can do is we could have a 32-bit physical address, which would imply a 2 to the 32 equals 4 gigabyte address space. Other questions? So let's say we have 32-bit program addresses, so 32-bit virtual addresses, and my pages are 4,096 bytes. So this is the situation on 32-bit x86. I'm asking how many virtual pages are there? So give you a little time to think about how do we compute. Would you like some more time? Okay. Could someone want to volunteer how you'd figure out this the answer here? What sort of thing should we do? Yeah.
I figured out how many bytes
there were
in the virtual address space.
Okay. So 2 to the 32 bytes total in virtual addresses. Mm-hmm. Divided by 2 to 12 bytes a page. Yeah. 2 to the 20 pages, which is about a million. Yeah. So that's the number we get. You might say that that's awfully big. And yeah, this is what the 32-bit x86 did. So let's talk about how big page tables might be in those scenarios. So let's assume we have the same virtual address size, same page size, we have 30-bit hardware addresses, and our page table entry, so that's each row of the page table, contains a physical page number, a valid bit, and one permission bit, which will be kernel mode only. it's set, it's kernel mode only, otherwise everybody can use it. So just very minimal set of permission bits. How big is this page table? Okay, who'd like some more time? Okay, so who can tell me a way to figure out an answer here? What's a good first step for figuring out this answer? So where I would start is that if we're thinking of our page table, we know the page table, like it's a table, so it has a bunch of rows and some columns. And there's two kind of things I would start by figuring out. So one is how many rows there are, and one is how sort of wide each entry is, how big each entry is. So can anyone tell me either of those ideas? How do we figure out how many rows we should have, or how do we figure out how big each entry is? So the height or the width? Okay, so you're saying that for the width, we're going to have plus 2 for these two bits. And then you want to the size of each page. So note that we have the physical page number. We don't actually have the pages in here. We just have a pointer to them. But we need to know how big that is. So can someone tell me how big are the physical page numbers? Or how can we figure that out? Yes.
Is it maybe that the length is 20?
Okay, you're saying you don't know the physical page number size, but you say the length is 2 to the 20, the height. How do you get that?
The same calculation.
Okay, so you're saying it's the same as the number of virtual pages. Yeah. That's what I get. So we have 2 to the 20 rows, one for each virtual page. Even if it's invalid, we still have a row for it because we're going to have to put the valid bit to say 0. So how about how big the physical page number is? Yeah?
I think that actually 20 bits because that's how you can encode 2×20.
Okay, so you're saying 20 bits. So that's the size of our 20 bits. So why 20? Okay, so you're saying, oh, we have 2 to the 20 rows, therefore we should be pointing to up to 2 to the 20 things. That's not quite how things, that's not a restriction we have, because we're allowed to have entries in the table that point to the same thing or point to things that are more, or we can have like much more things to point to than we have entries in the table, potentially. So that's not a restriction we actually have, even though, yes, it would make sense for us to have them the same size. That's not required, in fact, and not the most common situation on sheets. And in this particular case, our physical addresses are smaller than our virtual addresses. So it has to be the case that either a bunch of our table entries are going to be marked as invalid, or they're going to point to the same thing, just because we don't have enough physical addresses. So you're saying, oh, the physical page number is a pointer, so that should be 64 bits. So we could do that, but that's a little wasteful because our physical addresses, we know, don't use all those bits. So there's a much we can be much more compact. So we don't need to store all those extra bits that won't be used. So what I would say is that we have 30-bit physical addresses. So that's how we identify a byte in the physical memory, in the real memory. And I can divide up my physical address into a page offset and a physical page number. And what we're asking to store is the physical page number. Because we're mapping to a whole page, we don't care about where on the page it is. We can't be anywhere but the beginning of a page, which is going to end with all zeros. So we don't need to store those zeros. So then the question is, how big is our page offset? Well, if our page is 2 to the 12 bytes, we need 12 bits to determine which byte is the offset. So our offset is 12 bits. And this is true both in our physical and virtual addresses. So that means in our physical addresses, we have 30 minus 12 bits left over, which is 18, and that's going to be our physical page number. In our virtual addresses, we have 32, because that was the size we had, minus 12 bits left over, and that's going to be 20 bits for the virtual page number. And the 20 bits make sense because that means if we want to index into a row of the table, we need 20 bits to do that. 2 to the 20, that's what we expect. And for our physical addresses, we find out, okay, we need 18 bits to identify which page it is, because there's 2 to the 18 of them. There's another way we could think about it, is that we have, so we have 2 to the 30 bytes divided by 2 to the 12 bytes a page, equals 2 to the 18 pages. So another way I could have found out how many bits there are, I'd say there's 2 to the 18 physical pages, therefore I need 18 bits to identify each one. And so we end up needing 18 plus 2, or 20 bits, going back to we found the extra 2 bits, to do this. So we're going to have 2 to the 20 rows and 20 bits. So we have 2 to the 20 times 18 plus 2, which is going to be, you know, several megabytes. Some questions on how I computed that? Yeah?
Can you please explain again why the offset is 12?
Can I explain why the offset is 12? So since our pages have 2 to the 12 bytes, the first byte of the page is going to have offset 0, the second is going to have offset 1, and we're going to keep going until we get to 4,095. And when we go to 4,095, since that's 2 to the 12 minus 1, that's going to be 12 bits in binary, and that's going to be the number of bits we need to do that, is those 12 bits.
Okay, so that's like to
map to different pages.
It's a question, that's to map to different pages? That's to map to a part of a page. So if we remember our layout, we had, you know, if we have a page, right, the offset tells us where in the page we are, whether we're here or here or here. That tells us which part of the page we're in.
And that 18 bits is to map to different pages.
And that 18 bits is to map to different pages, yes. So everything left over tells us which page. Yes?
Could you explain the 18 plus 2?
Can I explain the 18 plus 2? So I have 18 for this physical page number, 1 for the valid bit, 1 for the kernel mode only bit. And I'm just saying that in my table, I have physical page number, valid, kernel mode only, just adding those up. Yeah?
So the difference between physical page and virtual page is by 2, is it because one is valid bit, the other one is kernel mode bit?
The question is the difference between by 2 because of the permission bits and the size of the number of virtual and physical pages? No. It's because the addresses differ in 2 bits. The address sizes differ in 2 bits. So if they differed in a different amount, we'd have a different number.
So are we given the bit number every time for physical and virtual?
Are we given the bit number every time? Not necessarily, but you know, it's not something you can compute from the permission. It's not something you can compute with the permission bits. You would need extra information. Okay. Other questions? Okay, so let's do exercise. So let's say I have pages of the same size, and here's an address I have, and I want you to split it up into a page number and a page offset. Would you like some more time? Okay, so who can tell me how big is our page offset going to be? Yeah.
12 bits.
12 bits. Yes, so 12 bits, and that's because that's how many bits we need to figure out which of 4,096 bytes we're referring to. So then my process would be that, well, if I'm thinking of converting this to binary, like I'd have 4 bits for each of these hexadecimal numbers, and I just want to take the last 12. And so I'm going to get an offset of 0x678, and everything else left over is going to be my page number. And in this case, I don't need to like write things in binary because it happens that they just divide where the hexadecimal digits are. If they didn't do that, I would need to look at the binary and figure things out, because we're actually dealing with bits, not hexadecimal nibbles. So questions? I computed that. Okay, so when we figured out that here we had 2 to the 20 times 20 bits, or you know, several megabytes worth of stuff stored in pages, this seems to pose a problem, because we can't just store this much stuff nicely on our processor. And the way you could infer that is that we've been talking about caches, which are like maybe hundreds of kilobytes. This is more than fits in those caches comfortably. So where are we going to put this? And the answer is we're going to put it in memory. So what we're going to do is we're going to have the processor decide on a way to represent our page table entries as an integer. So in this example, I've decided for some system with small page table entries, a way to put a 16-bit integer that represents a page table entry. So to do that, I've just arbitrarily decided I'm going to put the valid bit at bit 15 of the number, the kernel-only bit at bit 14, the physical page numbers, and some of the other bits. And, well, because I'm using a 16-bit number and not a 12-bit number, I end up having some leftover bits. That's fine. And typically is something which will end up happening, because we're going to probably want to use a whole number of bytes, because otherwise looking this up in memory is going to be very annoying. Yes? So the question on the quiz, weren't there three, what happened to the 3 unused bits in the beginning? So those unused bits you're complaining about, I think, were part of the address. And the issue is we had a 13-bit address. And if I write that as hexadecimal, like I'm not going to be able to have the number of hexadecimal digits times 4 be the number of bits. So there weren't unused bits there, it was just that when I was writing as hexadecimal, I didn't have any way of writing, you know, only half the bits are used. And generally, when I'm writing numbers, you know, down in hexadecimal, I'm not going to do things like write reading zeros, or I might write extra leading zeros. That doesn't mean we store them with that number of exact zeros and so on. Does that answer your question? So in this case, though, the unused bits are part of the page table entry. And that's because we're going to want to store this page table entry in a number of a particular size that might not match all the data we have. You got a question?
I think I was just going to ask if we need to be careful about like endianness.
So the question is, do we need to be careful with endianness? So the processor better tell you how this works with endianness and so on. Usually the way they'll do that is they'll say, interpret it as a number in the endianness of the system, and then here are how the bits are used. That answer your question?
I will listen more.
Yeah, so the idea here is that we're going to read a number as 16 bits, taking into account endianness, and the most significant bit is our valid bit after we do that. Other questions? Yeah?
Did you choose 16 bits arbitrarily?
Did I choose 16 bits arbitrarily, or is that a decision I can change? That's a decision the processor gets to make. Obviously, the processor needs to choose a size that's big enough for all the stuff at once in a page table entry. So what we'll do then is that the OS, rather than loading a page table into the processor, is going to load a pointer to the page table using what we'll call the page table base register. And this is going to point to somewhere in the physical memory. It has to be physical memory, because we can't have a chicken egg problem where we need to use the page table base pointer to look at where the page table is. Page table base pointer is. So we need to have point to physical memory. So it's going to point to a physical address, and we'll interpret the memory as an array of whatever number size our page table entries are. So in this case, an array of 16-bit numbers. So the process is going to interpret it this way, and it's going to know, based on the format it specified, that, for example, the first row of the page table has a valid bit of 0, because the most significant bit of this first number here is 0, where the page table base register points. And the kernel bit of the first entry is 0, because that's the second most significant bit. And the physical page number is this all zeros number, and so on. And we won't just read one entry from here. We'll consider this an array of entries. And so the processor, won't actually store this table, separately, but whenever it wants to look up a row of this table, so if we want to look up, say, virtual page 2 here, we're going to go to the appropriate entry in the array, which in this case would start at address 10004, 4 because that's 2 times 2, and we have two virtual page number 2 times 2 bytes per entry. And we'd interpret those bits as an entry to figure out what's there. So we can look at sort of all the most significant bits to be our valid bits, and all these bits 4 through 13 of each of these numbers to be each of the physical page numbers in the page table. Okay, so questions about this idea of storing the table in memory? Okay, so let's talk about sort of how the lookup works. So we're going to take our virtual address. We're going to divide it up into a virtual page number and a page offset. We're going to take the virtual page number, and we're going to do an array lookup with it. And the way array lookups works, we take the base of the array, and we add it to the index times how big each array element is. So that's what the times PTE size is, the size of each array element, or our page table entries, so we can skip the appropriate number of bytes. And then we're going to get that from our memory system, so from our data or instruction cache, and we're going to split that up to identify each of the parts of the page table entry. So this is going to have our valid bit, our kernel bit, any other permission bits, sort of, and other permission bits, and figure out whether we want to cause an exception to happen, whether the access is allowed. And assuming it is, we're going to construct a physical address. And we get the physical page number. Well, that's just part of the physical address. We also need to combine that with the page offset, which we'll just copy. And that's what we'll actually access for the program. So this is what the hardware is going to implement to use this page table that's in memory. So we're going to actually do two memory accesses every time the program does one. So questions about this procedure? Yes? What is it doing when it's doing times PTE size? So this whole process is an array lookup. Where this is the index, the virtual page number, and this is the base of the array. So the times PTE size is because if we just added the virtual page number, that wouldn't account for the fact that our page table entries, each element of this array, is not just one byte, it's probably multiple bytes. Does that answer your question? Or I guess I can go back to our example here. So for example, this first entry here, this is for virtual page number 0. The next one is for virtual page number 1, but it's not at 1000 plus 1, it's at plus 2, because each entry is 2 bytes. Other questions? Follow-ups? Yeah?
So for the next slide, the thing that comes out of the data or instruction cache, it's like the 2 bits plus the purple part of the physical address,
So the question, the thing that comes out of here is our 2 bits plus our other physical address. So yeah, this is our page table entry, so it has a physical page number and the permission bits and the valid bit. In this case, I only listed 2, but there could be more permission bits, and also some unused bits, possibly. Other questions? Yeah.
Is there ever a time when, like, the operating system might access physical memory without having to consult the page table first?
Question, is there ever a time when the operating system might have to access physical memory without consulting the page table first? Usually it will have to do this as boot. There's different ways that could work. A common way is that this lookup won't be done until the page table base register is set to something.
Okay.
Other questions? Okay, and we call the part of the processor that does this whole lookup the memory management unit, or MMU. And in our pipeline, we're going to have two of these, because we have one for the fetch, one for the memory, or an out-of-order pipeline, we'll have one for the fetch and one for every execution unit that accesses the data cache. And this means that we do, instead of up to 4 memory accesses per instruction. And if you're thinking, gosh, aren't memory accesses slow even when we use a cache? Yeah, they kind of are. So in practice, we're actually going to make this fast using a very specialized cache called TLB, which we may or may not talk about in more detail on Thursday, depending on how far we get. But basically, we'll have a very, very small and therefore very fast cache that instead of cache, doesn't cache just memory accesses in general, it just caches page table entries that are stored in memory. So hopefully, most of the time, we don't have to do all these memory accesses that, even with a cache, are going to be pretty slow. Because if we think of each of these cache accesses as taking one cycle, we've now doubled this, made our fetch take 2 cycles and our memory fetch take 2 cycles. That's not very good, and one cycle is very optimistic for using a traditional data and instruction cache to do this. Some questions? Yeah?
How is the TLB different from, like, I guess I'm a little confused how that's different from an instruction cache? Cause
so the question is, how is the TLB different than a normal instruction or data cache? Cache that only holds page table entries. So that's going to be the main difference. It's only going to hold page table entries. We'll probably talk a little bit more detail about it on Thursday. That will give you a better picture of, like, what's the input and output of this special cache. But this is a preview, and some of you might point out, gosh, isn't this really slow? Yes. So we have to do something about that. Okay, so now that we know how sort of our lookup works, let's do a couple exercises. So we'll start with a simple one. So here I'm saying I have 5-bit virtual addresses and 6-bit physical addresses and 8-byte pages. Since I have 8-byte pages, my first physical page are addresses 0 through 7. My next is addresses 8 through F, and so on. And this also means I can take my physical address and I have a 3-bit physical page number and a 3-bit page offset. 3-bit page offset because 8 is 2 to the third. And my virtual addresses have a 2-bit virtual page number and a 3-bit page offset. And let's do just exercise here. We'll just do the first two, let's say. So I want to translate, figure out what would we read from this physical memory if the program request address 1-8. Can someone tell me what's a good first step for doing this first translation? Yeah.
Translating the hex numbers into binary.
Translating the hex into binary sounds great. So how we do that? Okay.
Yeah, and then 1
is
just 0, 1.
So you say 1 is 0, 0, 1.
Yeah.
And something to note is that we have 5-bit physical addresses. So this is the address. We have some, like, I can't write, like, I can write 1-8 or, you know, I can't indicate exactly how many bits there are in the hex. So we have to realize, oh, there's only 5. So we have to cut them off. So that's useful. Now we have it in the virtual address in binary. And how do I use that? What's a good next step for using that? Yeah. Okay. Separate the page number and offset. And how do we do that?
Since in the page table, two bits are like virtual page number, so the first two is the page number, and the last three is the offset.
Okay, you're saying, okay, I noticed here that you helpfully indicated that virtual page numbers are 2 bits, so the first 2 bits must be the virtual page number. Yeah. If we didn't know that, we could figure it out from the fact that we had 8-byte pages, so that's 2 to the 3 bytes, which means we have 3 bits of page offset, which means these bottom 3 bits must be the page offset, and we have 2 bits left over, so that'd be another way we could tell there's 2 bits we need to select for that. Okay, so then, now that we have our virtual page number, I can look that up in this page table. And I look it up, and I get this last row here, and I find out that it's valid, and it returns to physical page number all zeros. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to construct a physical address. We're going to have a physical page number and a page offset. My physical page number is going to be all zeros, and my page offset is going to be a copy of the page offset I had here. So this is my page offset. I'm just going to copy that. And the address I get is all zeros for the physical address. So we're going to read this value right here and get a value of 0. So questions on how I did that? So we can repeat this process for address 03. So for 03, I'm going to take it's 000011. This is my wrong number of zeros. Five bits. So this is my page offset. This is my page number. I look up that page number in the table. I find out it's valid and goes to physical page 010. So I'm going to construct my physical address 010, copy from the page table. And then I'm going to move over this page offset 011. And so the address I get is 010011. I can convert that for ease back to hexadecimal. And I find out that it is address 13. So I look up 13 in here, and I find out that this is 4A. So that's what we would get when the program tried to access that address. So questions? How I did that? We're all hopefully set, because the next slide is the more tricky version of this exercise. So here, you notice I don't have a page table here. And here, the page table is going to be stored in the memory. So I have, in this case, 6-bit virtual addresses, 6-bit physical addresses, and 8-byte pages. So my addresses are divided up into a 3-bit page number and a 3-bit page offset. And my page table is stored in the memory, and I have a page table base register. So the page table is stored starting right here. So this here is my page table. And the question is, how do I know it's that big? Well, one reason is I told you in the question that page tables are one page. One page is 8 bytes, so that must be the page table. So it's stored there. And each page table entry is 8 bits, so it's an 8-bit number. So you don't have to worry about endianess in this case. If it was a bigger number, we would. And the three most significant bits are the physical page number, then we have a valid bit, then we have 4 unused or something else bits. My question is, I want to translate the virtual address 3-1 using my page table that's in memory. Question? Yeah. Can I repeat the significance of the page table being one page? Since the page table is one page and pages are 8 bytes, that told me the page table goes from address 20, where the base register is, to 20 plus 8. Question, that's saying there's only a single page in the page table? No, because our page table entries are 1 byte, so there are in fact 8 entries. So in this page table, this D0, this is the entry for VPN 0. This D1, this is the entry for VPN 1, and so on. So another way we could figure out how big the page table is, we could set how many virtual pages are there? Well, there's 8. And then I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Each of them are 8 bits. That'd be another way I could figure that out. Would you like some more time? Would still like more time? Okay, so I'll go through the steps I used. So first, I took our virtual address and split it up into a virtual page number and a page offset, just like we did with the case where the table was not in memory. And I found out that my virtual page number was 110, which is another way of writing 6. And my page offset is 001. We're not going to use the page offset till the very end, but we're going to use the 110 to figure out, well, that's a virtual page number. What physical page number does that correspond to? So to do that in this case, I don't have a table to look up in, but I know that this chunk of memory here stores the table. So I'm going to do an array lookup in that. How do I do an array lookup? Well, I take the base of the array plus our index, which is going to be the same as our page number, times the size of each element of the array, which is 1 byte. So I get address 26. So this is our sort of the where our page table entry is stored. So this is the result of our array lookup. I already have this labeled as page table entry address. This is where our page table entry is stored. And that's just an array lookup in this array of, in this case, 8 page table entries. So the value there is this F6. And that F6 is a number, but I need to figure out how to decode that. And I'm given the information on how to decode that in the problem up here. So I'm going to have to use that information to actually do my work of decoding it. And in this case, the 3 most significant bits here are my physical page number, then I have a valid bit, and then I have some unused bits. So my physical page number is all ones, and my valid bit is 1, so this access will succeed. And I take my physical page number, and I combine it with the page offset I got originally. So copy the page offset, and I found out we're accessing memory at address 39, 111001. I convert that back to hexadecimal. I get 39. And so I see that the value we're accessing is this 0C right here. So questions on any of the steps I used to do this? Comments, anything? Cool. Asking, one reason I'm asking is that this is very similar to the memory homework. So if there are things you don't understand, we should figure this out so you can do the memory homework successfully. We might do more examples like this later. So let's, in our last 10 minutes, talk about another issue. So I showed you what the page table size was with a 32-bit system. But we know that we mostly don't use those anymore. So my desktop has 39-bit physical addresses and 48-bit virtual addresses. So like I said before, it has 48-bit virtual addresses. This doesn't mean my pointers are 48 bits. They're 64 bits. But a bunch of those bits aren't actually used for the page table lookup or accessing memory at all. And I also have 4,096-bit pages. You might say, gosh, yep, still that small, even though it's 64 bits. So let's do figure out how many page table entries if our page table is laid out like we've seen before, what we have in the system. And remember, it might helps to remember that 40,000 is the same as 2 to the 12 byte pages. And second question is, how large are our physical page numbers? So basically doing the work to figure out how big is the page table supposed to be here. Can someone help me with our first question? How many page table entries? What's a good way to figure that out? Yeah.
Would it just be
2 to the 48 minus 12. And how did you get this?
Because all your bits other than the ones that determine the offset are
for the... Okay. So you just said, okay, our virtual addresses, there are 48 bits in total. And that means, but 12 of those bits are page offset. So we have 48 minus 12 equals 36 bits left over for our virtual page number. So our virtual page numbers are 36 bits. Therefore, there are 2 to the 36 rows in our table, virtual page number, virtual page table entries, because one for each possible virtual page number. Yeah. Equals 2 to the 36 entries. Another way we could figure that is we could say there are 2 to the 48 possible bytes we can address, divided into 2 to the 12 pages. 2 to the 48 divided by 2 to the 12 gives us the same number. So questions about computing how many page table entries? You know, if we laid out the page tables like we've been seeing. Okay, how about how large physical page numbers are? Anyone help me with that? So we know how large our physical addresses are. Yeah. 27 bits. How did you get that? 39 minus 12. So you just said our physical addresses, there are 39 bits in total, is the physical address size, but 12 of those bits are page offset. The rest is our physical page number. Yeah. So I got 27 bits. So let's do, say, they figure out page table size. And on this system, page table entries represented in memory are 8 bytes. You might say that seems bigger than they need to be. Possibly, but they have a bunch of permission bits, a bunch of other data they want to store in the page tables, and also they want to have room for expansion in the future. And they want it to be a power of 2 size because that makes the array index computation a lot easier. So it's 8 bytes. And if we do the computation, this means that our page table, if we start it like we did before, will be 2 to the 39 bytes. That's half a terabyte. And obviously, my desktop does not have half a terabyte of memory. So something else must be going on, right? We can't actually be storing a page table the way we've been talking about on this system. It's just, there's not possible. And an observation we can make is that we have so many pages that we just can't store a page table entry for every page. So we need some way of saving space and still storing our page tables. And we're going to rely on sort of one property of real programs and how their address space looks to be able to do this. And that property is that usually most of our addresses are not valid. So we have these regions of invalid pages, these long regions of all invalid pages. And here it looks like there may be like half the space, but in practice, especially on a 64-bit system, you know, if we have like, you know, 1 meg of stack and 10 meg here, and maybe, you know, 100 meg here, well, this whole thing is like many terabytes. So these holes are huge relative to the other stuff. So most of our pages are not valid, and the trick we're going to do is we're going to try not to store an entry for each invalid page. We're going to store something which says a whole range of pages is invalid, or otherwise not store all those invalid entries. So questions on sort of why we have all these invalid pages? So the idea is not to store invalid page table entries. And to do this, we're going to use some data structure other than a flat array for these large page tables. And basically, you think we're implementing a map where we want to look up a virtual page number and get a page table entry. And since you've taken 2150, if I asked you, how do you implement a map? A lot of you would say, well, use a hash table. And hash table's a great idea. And some processors have done that. This is not the current solution that most processors use, but it does work. Yeah, it would work. We could have a hash table. So rather than storing all the pages, we could just have a hash table. The processor takes the hash of the virtual page number and has to do some collision resolution, which you can do, chaining or something like that, and finds a page table entry. So if we're not doing a hash table, you know, there's some other strategy you learn in 2150 for having implementing a map, and that was a binary or about a tree. So we're going to use a tree, and that's in fact the majority solution. It's not going to be quite a search tree, and it's not going to be a binary tree. And this is because we want to look up to be implemented in hardware, and we also want to look up to not involve many memory accesses. So because of these restrictions, you know, the lookups in hardware, the lookup needs to be something simple to compute. We don't want to have any complicated computations to figure out where to do a lookup. So we're going to divide up our address bits into pieces and use each of those for each part of our lookup. So we want the lookup to not involve like doing modulo or anything like that. That's not something that's nice to do in the hardware. Also, we want to have very few memory accesses because doing lots of memory accesses is expensive. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a really fat tree. So we're going to have our first level of our tree is going to go to our second level, and each of these nodes is going to have lots of children. So we don't have a very deep tree. And the number of children these nodes have, this is going to be generally 2 to the something children. So we can just take k bits from our address to figure out which child to go to. So we'll look at that a little more next time, but sort of the summary is that we'll have multiple levels of tables, and we'll look up in the first level which range, which subtable we're in based on a range of addresses, and then we'll find in that subtable, we'll find either another table or in this example, the final page table entry. And we'll talk more about this. Questions? I'll be here.